Rebel Yell Podcast, Trib Live High School Sports Network, winding down our coverage of the 2023-2024 high school basketball season. This is our final weekend, I guess, even though it's the start of a new week, of saluting our WPIL Boys and Girls Players of the Week, WPIL Boys and Girls Teams of the Week. First time ever this week, a three-team salute to Lincoln Park, Aliquippa, and also Imani Christian Academy, the three WPL teams that brought home state gold this season. Next week, we will wrap up the our basketball coverage. We'll be announcing our Trib 10 Boys and Girls All-Star Teams. We'll be announcing our head of the class, which is the top player and top coach in each of the six classifications, boys and girls. And we'll have our girls basketball player of the year, boys basketball player of the year. A little spoiler alert, we may be talking to B-ball once again, but I don't want to give anything away. I don't want to say too much. Brandon Cummings, outstanding way to finish his career, the senior at Lincoln Park School of Performing Arts, kind enough to join us. Brandon, congratulations. It's sort of like the Jerome Bettis career. What a great way to end at least your scholastic part of your career. We're hoping for bigger and better things on the collegiate and level and possibly the pro level, but what an outstanding scholastic career. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
So before we start talking about this past week and the another state championship run for the Leopards, coming into the season, I mean, you guys have a lot of players back from the double gold a year ago where you won WPIL and PIAA championships. Would anything short of what you guys just accomplished been a big disappointment for you guys?
Yeah, probably. I think like the night after we won it the first time, we were kind of already talking about next year, saying like we got mostly everybody returning. You know, we did it this year, so why can't we do it next year? So it was like we wouldn't have accepted anything less.
Yeah, and you guys were dominant throughout the season. Got things done. A perfect section record again. Got the number one seed as expected in 4A, and you get to the championship game, and you take care of business in the WPIAL finals against a pretty good Hampton team. One of the things we're in, because Lincoln Park was one of our teams of the week, we had Coach Barisky on. He mentioned one of the things that really he thought was underrated about this team that didn't get a lot of pub was the team defense. You shut down a very good Peter Kramer in the WPL championships. He got his back a little bit in the state semifinals, but how good was this team defensively? And is that at this level more of a mindset? Because you probably realize, and that's what I told Mike, I was so impressed because you guys could outscore just about any team in the district, but you chose to do the little things, to play hard defensively, to crash the glass. Just talk about that aspect of your game and the team's defensive mindset.
I think a lot of times, especially early in the season, I think we kind of figured we could get away with just outscoring teams. So people didn't really see the defensive side of Lincoln Park until it got to, you know, the win or go home part of the season. And you know, sometimes offense can't win you games and offense can't just win you championships. That's why people say defense wins championships. So, you know, going out there and scoring 90 points every game, that's not always going to be what can win you the game. Sometimes you have to focus on not letting the other team score as well. So whenever everybody kind of realized that and everybody kind of locked in and we all came together and, you know, made it a priority to make sure that we shut teams down. People finally started to get to see the defensive side of us. And that was really us. That we had that in us all season. But, you know, I feel like just more especially in the playoffs, the Whipple playoffs and the state playoffs, it got to come out a little bit more.
Now, is that you as a senior leader stepping up? Because Coach, I'm sure he was since day one, preaching defense, defense, defense. Sometimes coaches' messages get lost in the wind a little bit. But is that, you know, when you say something that carries a lot of weight with your teammates, is that something where, you know, you and others stepped up and said, guys, we gotta bear down on when we don't have the basketball?
Yeah, for sure. It's me, but you know, it's not only me. We had a lot of seniors on the team. So I think it was everybody collectively. We all like came to the understanding, like, you know, we have to play defense now. Like we have to like not just play defense, but like play elite defense, like shut down defense, shut out defense. We all kind of came to that conclusion together.
Yeah, it was, I had a chance to see you guys a couple times. One of them was one of the few times you guys were kind of on the ropes. The second round state playoff game against Uniontown, the team that you had defeated in the district playoffs. I mean, they came out and smacked you in the mouth, took a big lead, but there was no panic, and we could sense that. And because there was no panic, even though they had a big lead, it was almost like the Red Raiders were the sort of the ones back on their heels, and then you guys were able to take advantage and get back in it. Thanks in part to you guys amping up things defensively.
Yeah, that was a really tough game. You can tell like they prepared for that game way better than we did. I mean, and Uniontown, they have a lot of good players. They're a really tough team, so they came out early and were playing what I thought to be their best, and I think we weren't playing anywhere near our best. So, I mean, they got out 19-4, ended up ending the quarter, 23-9, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, that huddle that we had after the first quarter was like, listen, like, if we don't pick things up right now, this is going to be the last game we all play together. And I think that realization was enough for us to be like, all right, like, defense and offense, we have to step up. Like, this is not, we're not going to go out like this. Like, if we're going to go out some way, it will not be like this. So, and I mean, if you check the score sheet, we outscored them 22-9 in the second quarter, and they outscored us 23-9 in the first quarter. So we pretty much did the same thing to them in the second quarter that they did to us in the first. So we just had to come to the realization that, like, we're not going to go out like this.
You had a massive game in that, in a big part of the comeback against Uniontown. Afterward, Coach Bariski mentioned that he felt you were finally back, that you had told him, I'm back, I'm ready to go. I don't think a lot of people realize that you spent a good part of the final part of the regular season and in through the district playoffs not at 100%. You had some health issues. He mentioned something like upper respiratory issue. Talk a little bit about exactly what happened, when it happened, and how much it hampered your game.
I'm not a person that likes to make excuses for myself, but I did have we weren't sure what it was, but some type of sickness that kind of threw everything off. So throughout the end of the season and throughout the Whippoor playoffs, it was just – It was obviously messing with me, but like I said, I'm not one to make excuses. So shot was a little bit off, but you know, I was at least able to go out there and, you know, still produce. And yeah, but it kind of messed with me because after the Whippoor Championship, Coach pulled us into his office and he kind of listed off some stats. And he mentioned my 3-point percentage, and it was something like 4-for-20 something that was just abysmal. So from that point on, I was just like, all right, like that was what I needed. Like, I'm not sick anymore. New state playoffs are about to start. Like, I'm gonna put this work in the gym, this extra work. And obviously I went out there and I shot something like 60%+ from the three in the state playoffs. So that's all it really took, was him to, you know, point out my stats and call me out, because that's what a good coach does.
Talk about your decision to play, though, because he had mentioned a lot of players probably not at 100%, not able to get their work in, would have just said, hey, I'm going to, you know, we're in good shape here. I'm going to sort of take a week or two off so that I am fresh for the district in the state playoffs. That didn't even venture into your mind.
No, like I said, I don't like to make excuses for myself. So, you know, I kind of just had to, we call it thugging it out. Had to go and thug it out. That's it.
Buckle up. But at the same time, Coach mentioned you were still productive, but you weren't what we're so used to seeing you, some of the eye-popping numbers, and you mentioned your three-point percentage. And he pointed out that that was because you have this, you know, crazy ritual where you'll be taking 200 shots before practice, and then take 200 more shots afterward, just on your own. And he said that's the one thing. You weren't able to do that because of your limitations physically. You were able to practice, you were able to play, but you weren't able to get that extra work in. Do you feel now in hindsight that was part of why you weren't putting up those numbers that we're used to?
Yeah, partly. I mean, I was really going through it. So, you know, after practice, I was just kind of drained. And usually, I mean, throughout whenever I wasn't sick, of course, I got those shots back up. But whenever I was down a little bit, you know, I couldn't really stay after and get those extra shots up just because of how drained I was. But I mean, that's probably a huge reason why, you know, those shots weren't falling, because, I mean, it's a routine. Like once you do something for a while and then you stop doing it, you know, it'll throw everything off. So once I got back into the groove, obviously the shots started falling again.
Impressive mindset, impressive work ethic, which is why you are going on to bigger and better things and have achieved so much here in your scholastic career. For those who don't know, give us a little background on B-Baw, the nickname.
This is one of my favorite questions. So pretty much, and I get told this story by my dad and my grandma all the time, and it's still kind of foggy. I don't know why. I just can never like completely understand it. But I think it was B-Boy. It started as B-Boy. And I think it just progressively just turned to like B-Boy, B-Boy, B-Ba, B-Ba. And you know, that name just kind of stuck. It was just a B-Ba. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure that's the origin of it. So it was originally B-Boy, and then it just came to B-Ba. Hmm.
So let's go now fast forward to this past week. You guys are into the semifinals, a familiar foe in Hampton. That's the one thing, and again, some players, it doesn't matter. Some players do notice when you're in the state playoffs, playing teams from other districts as opposed to playing teams that you're familiar with from the WPIL. Last year's run to Hershey, you guys played four WPIL teams before you got to the Giant Center, and it turns out the same thing this year. It's less travel, I guess, which is a good thing, but if you had your druthers, would you like to see some of the other top 4A teams from other districts, or are you fine going up and going and battling these teams from District 7?
I mean, honestly, I don't really think it makes a huge difference to me, because I feel like that we were good enough that we would obviously beat any of those teams. But, I mean, I also don't want to travel 2.5 hours to go to a game. Like, I think our girls team, for their first round, they played like Northern York or some York team, and they had to travel like 3 and 3.5 hours, and that's just, who wants to travel that far for a game then have to come back the same day? Like, that's a lot, especially driving in a bus or a van. That's a lot. So I don't really, it's not my thing.
I can tell you it's not my thing either, that if I'm going that far, then you book me a hotel, because I ain't coming back the same day. But that's neither here nor there. So you get another crack at Hampton, rematch of the WPL championship in the PIAA semifinals. Again, Peter Kramer's one of the top players in the district, so he was able to have success the second time. But Coach Bariski mentioned that you guys kept a lot of other players in check, and thus the damage was minimal. And when all was said and done, you guys pull out another convincing victory by 21. Talk about your performance. I think 29 points in that second victory over Hampton.
I think it was just it started way before the game. It was more mental than anything else. It was more like, you know, this is the game that, you know, is going to get you to Hershey. And I've been in that game before, and I've lost that game before. So it was really mental. It was like, I'm locked in. Like, I don't want to talk to anybody. Like, and my teammates know that, like, I take time before the game where I literally sit there with my head down, and people know to not speak to me, because I'm kind of just mentally preparing myself for the game. So, opposite of the Uniontown game, I was very locked in from the start of that game. So did miss a few shots, but I hit a few as well, and I think I had 24 points in the first half. So it was really mental more than anything, and my teammates understood that as well.
That focus time that you're talking about, it's interesting because we've seen athletes in different sports go through the rituals, and it's all more mental preparation than physical preparation. I mean, have you ever timed that out? I mean, what's the timing of that as far as are you sitting there for 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes?
I actually don't know. I kind of just I don't even realize that I'm doing it sometimes. Like I'll be on my phone and then I'll put my phone down and I'll put my head down and I could be sitting there for 15 minutes. I could be sitting there for 30 seconds. Like I really don't know.
Okay.
It kind of just like a switch.
Interesting. So you guys knock off Hampton again, get to the Giant Center again to defend your crown against Archbishop Carroll. Everybody knows the reputation District 12 has. Those Philadelphia schools have had so much success since they became part of the PIAA. And you guys jump on them early, 25-10. You outscore them in the second quarter, 26-12, massive lead, and pretty much game, set, and match before halftime even came. Again, it's a great team making a statement, right?
We went into that game and we all agreed that like if we played to the best of our abilities, we can beat this team by 25 plus points. Like and we weren't just saying that, like we were watching film, like and we were like preparing, like, listen, like this team, great team, don't get me wrong, but like very young, have some flaws. And like if we go in there and we do what we're supposed to do, we can win by 25 plus points. And obviously, we went in there and won by that many points. But we all just understood like what was at stake. Like last game together, like let's go out with a bang.
Exclamation point, exclamation point. A 30-point victory, 80-50, over Archbishop Carroll. 37 points, 7 of 8 from the 3-point line. Some of those, the patented collapsible 3-point shots from beyond NBA range that you've mastered. Coach Bariski said he was asked afterward, are you content with him chucking up some of those shots? And he said, I'm content with him when they go in. I'm all for it. I'm never going to complain when they go in. You could tell you work on the game a lot because you are not afraid to take any shot, whether it's open or whether it's defended. And that really shows.
A lot of people they ask me like, are you comfortable taking shots like whenever there's two people on you, whenever you're a step past half court? And they sound so surprised whenever I tell them like, yeah, because I work on that. Like
Right.
I work on shooting shots contested. I work on those very, very far shots. Like I put a lot of shots up from that range. So whenever I get into the game, it's not a problem. Like it's normal to me. Like I'm so familiar with those shots. So I mean, obviously the state championship is a huge stage and a lot of people might kind of stray away from that, but I believe in myself and believe in my ability so much that I can shoot those shots on any stage.
Yeah, fantastic. 14 of 18 from the field, 7 of 8 from beyond three. That's how you put together a 37-point effort. Just a masterful performance to cap off your scholastic career. The Biba goes boom. Whether you are hit while taking those shots and you go down, or whether you're trying to maybe earn a whistle, is that something you work on too? If do you know what I'm talking about? The long shot where you just where you go down. Again, part of it probably is because there was contact, but that would be something I think would be a little painful to practice.
I mean, I do work on it. Like I'll shoot a shot and kind of try to simulate contact. Obviously I don't have somebody there actually hitting me while I shoot the shot.
Do
But
you set up one of those wrestling mats so you can fall safely? You don't have to fall on the hardwood.
Sometimes I kind of take away the fall. Like I'll
Okay.
simulate the contact and I'll make sure I don't fall and hurt my hip. I'll save that for the game.
That's
But yeah, I do simulate contact and work on, making shots through contact. Some people try to say that, it's a flop. I call it, selling a foul. Like if there's contact, if there's
Sure.
actual contact and you sell it instead of flopping, I think those are two different things. So I work on selling it.
Totally agree. And that's part of the game, right? And if you can get those whistles, then you're only helping your team. So, nothing wrong with that. We were talking. Hold on, I got it here somewhere. Mr. Organized. Let me see. Boy, this is good. This is good. Good podcast stuff here. Oh, here it is. So, talking to Nate Brazil, he was our player of the week last week from my Monte Christian Academy. And he mentioned, now again, this is before Hershey, that he knew it was going to be emotional. He knew that win or lose, that didn't matter. But just the fact that his scholastic career was coming to an end was going to be very emotional. Is that something leading up to the game and during the game you were sort of self-processing and like, this is, hey, this is my last stand. This is my last rodeo on the high school basketball court and trying to soak it all in?
I think early in the season is whenever I kind of came to that realization. Like, it was like, this is my last run at it. Like, all these games that I'm playing in these places are going to be my last games at these places. Like, so it was more of that in the early season. I think once playoffs came around, I had already accepted that. And I think it was just more like, let's get the job finished. There wasn't really any emotions attached to it. It was like, obviously, you don't want to end your career on a loss. So,
Yeah.
like, we have to make sure we're completely locked in for every game. So, it wasn't like, oh, this is my last game. This is the last. It was more like, let's win.
Taking care of business.
Right.
Nothing, again, awesome stuff. 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 25 years from now, when you and some of your teammates get together, whether it be this year or your entire career in a Leopards uniform, what's one thing that really stands out that you're proudest of, I guess?
I mean, we've had so many moments
Yeah.
together. I think it's just the resiliency of the group. I think early in this season we kind of went through a lot. Like, as far as chemistry goes, we had a lot of fights within us. And we were not a championship team, like, at all. And if you ask anybody on the team, they will all agree. We lost two in a row, then lost again to New Magrety. Three losses early in the season. There were a lot of people saying like, this team isn't going to win a state championship, and and they kind of crossed us off, and it's so resilient that we didn't listen to anybody. Like, we kind of had to block everybody out. And from that New Magrety game on, we didn't lose a game, and I think our margin of win was probably somewhere around 15 to 20. Like, we just it was it's so crazy that, like, we went through that and everybody marked us off except for us. Like, even while we were fighting, even while we went through everything we went through, we still came together and obviously ended the season with a state championship. So I wouldn't have wanted to do that, did that with any other group of guys. Like, those guys are my brothers and I'm so proud of them. And, I'm just so happy we got to end it the way that we did.
All right, let's get to some some fun banter. March Madness going on now through two rounds. My bracket totally destroyed, but that's per usual. Is there a team or two that you really, really like heading into the Sweet 16?
I'll say NC State.
Oh.
NC State. I mean, obviously, I felt like that should have been our spot, but I mean they won the tournament, so they got their automatic bid. But they're on a roll right now. They got Big Fella who's he's really playing great, got a lot of good guards. And I just think they kind of got some dogs on their team, and I like that. And I'm gonna be really excited to play against them next year. And I really like them. I'm not sure if they're gonna win it all,
Right.
but I like that team.
Yeah. One word answer needed. Did Pitt get jobbed?
Yeah, they
Okay.
did.
There's a lot of folks in this neck of the woods would totally agree with that. All
Yeah.
right. Yay or nay, did the Steelers improve their quarterback room?
Yeah, I
Okay.
think so.
All right. Rank these from favorite to least favorite. English, math, science.
This man. What was it from favorite to least favorite?
Your favorite of those three to your least favorite. English, math, science.
I'll go math, science, English.
Ooh, math first. Okay. What do you, by the way, what do you, have you figured out what you want to study at Pitt?
Not yet. I'll probably figure it out in the next coming weeks.
Okay. Well-spoken young man, so there's a lot of options for you. All right, rank these four. MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL. From a fan standpoint.
Okay. NBA, NFL. NBA, NFL.
There's a long drop.
And then NHL and MLB.
All right. Rank these three: steak, chicken, seafood.
Steak, seafood, chicken.
How do you like your steak?
Medium.
Okay.
Probably around the medium range.
Now chicken, what's your favorite kind of seafood?
Probably crab.
Okay. And chicken, do you prefer breaded chicken or grilled chicken?
Fried chicken.
All right. Wings or nuggets?
Wings.
All right. What's your, do you have like a dipping sauce you prefer?
Ranch.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. I just feel like it's kind of it's basic.
It is basic, you're right. But some people get fancy. I mean, I've been out with folks who ordered wings and they get all kind of, they start spewing off, oh yeah, I like a side of this and a little side of that. And I'm like, what? Whoa. Okay. All right, bread. Do you like bread? Everyone likes bread, right? Rank these: wheat, white, Italian, rye. Wheat, white, Italian, rye.
That's hard to do. I don't really notice the difference in bread. I'm not gonna lie. Like I just whatever bread is put on my plate is the bread
Just
that
basic bread, right?
I eat. Yeah.
All right. How about these beverages? Pop, water, coffee, juice, milk. There's five.
Juice, water. Pop, milk, coffee.
Yeah, good call. I like that list. What do you have a favorite juice?
Apple juice. I love apple juice.
Oh, nice. All right. Fruits or vegetables?
Fruits.
Favorite fruit?
Probably, I know apple juice is my favorite drink, but probably an orange.
Right. Well, there's probably someone out there that favorite fruit is apple and they drink orange juice. So, I mean, that's cool. Favorite dessert?
Probably like ice cream cake or something like that.
Ooh, ice cream cake. Excellent. Excellent choice. What's your favorite kind of ice cream flavor?
I'm a simple guy, like vanilla,
All
strawberry,
right.
those, yeah, simple stuff.
Simple guy, man after my heart. What about like a salty snack? What's your favorite salty snack?
Chips, potato chips.
Okay. Any brand or to give a cheap plug?
It changes, but right now it's the Ruffles, like regular Ruffles.
All right, we got some upstairs. If you were here, I'd give you some, but you're not. So, three states that you've never been to, but you would like to go to. You're going to be a world traveler pretty soon, so this is kind of important.
California, never been to Cali. Weird choice, but Maine.
Wow, that's well, it's pretty country. As
Yeah,
long as you're not going in the winter.
it's just nobody really talks about it, so I kind of just
Yeah,
wanted to go and
no,
see
that's a
it.
good call.
And I've been a lot of places. One of the Dakotas, just because it's not really talked about much.
Because you never know if you're in South Dakota or North Dakota. It's just
Right.
one big Dakota. All right. And finally, popsicles or fudgesicles?
Popsicles for sure.
What do you have a favorite flavor or color or
Blue.
blue? That's like what is blue flavor? What is
Like a
blue? I've
blue
seen
raspberry or something.
raspberry. There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, as always, my friend, it's a pleasure chatting with you. Just a spectacular season, a spectacular career. You've accomplished so much that eventually someday you will be in the WPIL Hall of Fame. But hopefully that's on your list of many other Hall of Fames because that's how good you are. Best of luck. We may be soon talking again. I'll be in touch, but congratulations on being our final player of the week.
Thank you. It means a lot.
All right. Brandon Cummings of Lincoln Park, wrapping up his career with WPIAL and PIAA Gold for a second straight year. There aren't too many players that can sweep gold back-to-back years. He is on a short list now with what the Leopards were able to accomplish. All right. So when we did our and I hope you had a chance to check it out, our podcast with our teams of the week, the three state champions, Lincoln Park, Aliquippa, and Imani Christian Academy. We talked about 1A, 2A, 3A. Let's talk about the 4A, 5A, 6A championships as again, we're winding things down here. Lincoln Park, 80 to 50, total demolition of District 12, Archbishop Carroll. I don't think they won the District 12 championship. They either were the runners up or they lost in the semifinals. But they made the run through the East, which is impressive. But no contest. Malik Thomas had 16. In that game, mentioned Brandon Cummings with 37. Mikey Crawford, another graduating senior, with 15 points for Lincoln Park. 5A championship, the only district team to not come home with state gold, Franklin Regional. They made things interesting with for a while with State Power Imhotep Charter. But third straight state championship for the Panthers of Imhotep Charter. This was a battle of the Panthers. 59-48, the final score. Cameron Rowe had a big year this year. He ended up with 15 points. Finian Hutchinson with 9. Another player who had a big year was Cooper Rankin. He ended up with 6 points. Great season for Franklin Regional. Franklin Regional and Moon, they met in the WPL Championship. Franklin Regional was leading. Moon comes back and wins it. They win District Gold. Franklin Regional beats Moon in the state semifinals, so they earn state silver, losing to Imhotep Charter by 11. And then finally, in boys class 6A championship game, no involvement from the WPIAL, but the team that eliminated the last hope for District 7, Upper St. Clair, in the second round, ends up winning it all. Central York from District 3, they edged Parkland from District 11, 53-51. So congratulations to Central York. All right, thanks to Brandon Cummings, Beba, if you will, and our producer, Chris Lackner. I'm Don Rebel. We thank you for joining us. Rebel Yell Podcast, Trib Live High School Sports Network.